Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. So we are on our 10th episode. I can't believe that it's our 10th episode for this podcast. It's been such a fun experience. And today we will be covering season 1, episode 10 of The Vampire Diaries. And the episode title is The Turning Point. This was a pretty short episode. It was actually only 39 minutes. So I'm assuming that this podcast episode isn't going to be as long as my other ones. Because we're kind of trying to follow the TVD airing schedule, we are going to be taking maybe a 1 week or 2 week hiatus after this episode, just so I can have a break, because I've been, you know, doing this podcast nonstop since I began. And yeah, so in the real airing schedule back in 2009, they took a winter break. So I think it was like 2 months they took off, but we'll only be taking 1 or 2 weeks. So the previous episode ended with the cliffhanger of Logan at the Gilbert residence, and we were also introduced to Alaric. So let's take a look at the synopsis of this week's episode. The episode begins with Logan. So Logan's at the doorstep of the Gilbert house. Jenna is basically pissed off with Logan. You know, he left. She got an email from him saying he's out of town. And Logan looks pretty surprised when he hears about the email, because obviously he wasn't the one that sent it. And then Jenna says she's not going to invite him in, which is good. You know, thank goodness she didn't invite him in. And we see Logan frustrated walking out the house. And then we finally see some neighbors outside the Gilbert house. You know, lots of events happen in the Gilbert house, you know, even in future episodes. And it really surprises me how none of the neighbors notice that things are going on in there. So we see this old guy. And then after that, we see a female jogger. And this female jogger turns around and she recognizes Logan from the TV. She actually has a name this time. So, you know, usually the random people that are killed off in the beginning of the episodes don't tend to have names. But this woman was called Daphne. And unfortunately, Daphne only had that one scene as Logan fed on her and then the title credits roll. After the title credits, we've seen a recurring theme where the episode tends to begin with Elena either like waking up or reading from her diary or writing her diary. But this time it was Jeremy reading from one of the ancestors' journals. And one of the things that is mentioned in his journal is, "I know that the night brings death." So Jeremy's ancestor, I think it was Jonathan Gilbert, wrote that he knows that the night brings death. And I'm guessing that this is about vampires. So we've seen that the founding families have had this council, like the family founders council from before. So it's obvious that they knew about the vampires. And it's only a matter of time before we find out that, you know, the Gilberts obviously have some kind of involvement as well. There's like some sketches inside the journal. And we see Jeremy drawing again. And Elena and Jenna seem really happy. You know, Jeremy appears to be really doing well after the whole compulsion. You know, we saw him last time being really motivated with studying. Now he's into his hobbies of drawing again. So things are looking pretty good for Jeremy, I'd say. Switching to the Salvatore residence, Damon and Stefan are talking about where they're going to go next, because, you know, obviously they've decided that they're going to leave town. You know, Damon said that he was going to leave because he can't get Catherine anymore, and then Stefan is leaving because he doesn't want to cause any danger or harm to Elena. And Damon mentions London, and that made me really happy, obviously, because, you know, I lived in the UK. And I'd really love to see the Vampire Diaries cast in London. Like, that would be so cool, like, seeing them in the UK. I mean, we get historical scenes in future seasons of them in England, but it's not like during this current era. So Damon says he's going to see some friends, and then Stefan says, "But you don't have any." And technically it looks like both of them don't really have that many friends right now. I mean, Stefan's one longtime friend was staked by Damon. But actually in future seasons, we may see some old friends of Damon. We may see an old friend of Damon who becomes a main cast, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. But yeah, there is this one friend that becomes a main cast. And then, you know, it appears that Damon wants to, you know, travel around with Stefan. He wants to do the whole bromance adventure kind of thing, but Stefan's just not up for it. And then the sheriff knocks on the door, and she's here to talk to Damon. And Damon says that, you know, he apologizes for the whole like secrecy thing, but it's like Stefan doesn't know about vampires. And then the sheriff says, you know, she understands the kids are too young to be involved in it, which is really funny because, you know, obviously Stefan is 162 years old. You know, he's older than the sheriff, but it's really funny. It's also impressive how Damon is really like keeping up with this lie. Like, he really looks convincing, and, you wouldn't suspect that he's a vampire from the sheriff's point of view. And then the sheriff is talking about how there's another attack. The council is in a panic because they thought they dealt with this whole thing. And we see Damon look genuinely surprised as well, because he thought that now the vampire problem was over. He could just leave town. But it appears that there is more vampires on the loose. At the school, there's like all these banners, like posters up. So it's like a career night, which we'll see later on. And we see Caroline and Matt walk into school together. And it looks like they're like, you know, binge watch buddies now. Like they're talking about different TV shows they've watched together. And they're genuinely getting along. And we see all of like their friends are looking really confused. Like we see Tyler, who is with this random friend. He looks at them confused. And then Bonnie and Elena too look confused. Bonnie seems more encouraging about it. She says it's better that Caroline hang out with Matt than hang out with Damon, who is a dangerous vampire. But Elena feels a little weird about it. And then, you know, Bonnie mentions how maybe it's for the best that Stefan is leaving, because, you know, what kind of future would Elena see with Stefan? And the timing of it is really good, because, you know, obviously they're having like this career night, talking about future careers and what they want to do. And then obviously it's hard for Elena to see a clear future with Stefan, because one, he's a vampire, and two, you know, while she ages and lives her human life, Stefan is going to eternally be a 17-year-old. So it's like, you know, how are they able to stay together? And then while they're talking about the future, funnily enough, the future, like something, quote, banner drops down in front of them. And I found it funny how Elena asked if Bonnie did it, because, you know, obviously Bonnie has her witchy powers, but that was genuinely an accident. Apparently, like, the banner just dropped down by accident. So after the sheriff left, Stefan initially thinks that it was Damon who killed the woman. I mean, like, who else would he suspect? Because to their knowledge, there wasn't supposed to be any other vampires. But, you know, Damon says that it wasn't him. He wouldn't be that sloppy. And then Stefan says, well, he can't leave now, because obviously he's leaving, so Elena isn't put into harm or danger, but he can't just leave this new vampire on the loose. And then Damon says, well, let the adults handle it. So I guess this implies that Damon also isn't going to leave town. He's going to help. I don't know, like, I know that Damon has been portrayed as, like, the antagonist throughout the first early episodes, but it does seem like deep down he wants to help out with Stefan and Elena, and he's not just going to leave Mystic Falls with, like, all these vampires roaming about. So it's really conflicting, like, you know, is he really a villain? Is he not? Well, obviously this episode, the main villain is Logan. And then back at the school, Tyler and Matt are playing basketball together. And I don't know, like, I totally missed the part where they're friends now, like, because we saw there was, like, lots of tension between them in, like, the Friday Night Bites episode. After that, they weren't really interacting together, but it appears that they made up. And Tyler seems to think that Matt is hooking up with Caroline, but Matt says it's nothing like that. Elena walks to the school grounds, and she sees Stefan. At first, she initially thinks that Stefan came to say goodbye to her, but it was actually to tell her about this new vampire. But after he's dealt with this new vampire, it appears that he's still planning on leaving Mystic Falls. At home, Jeremy is talking about these journals again. He's saying that he's been reading these journals from the 1800s, which Jonathan Gilbert wrote. And in those journals, he was writing about demons and about people being slaughtered. You know, Jenna mentions that he was a writer, so she's implying that it's not real what he's writing, but the timing is so coincidental. Like, the fact that Catherine was around in 1864, and that's when Stefan and Damon became vampires, and then this ancestor is writing about people getting slaughtered, it just feels like this isn't a coincidence. There's more to it. So he obviously knew about the vampires. Whether he knows about Stefan, Damon, and Catherine, we don't know. Obviously the founding families harbor lots of knowledge on vampires. I mean, we've seen it with the Founders Council as well. We see a scene of Caroline holding the compass. So I guess Damon's like go-to human to use when it's convenient for him is Caroline. So Caroline's been compelled again, and it's really questionable that no one gets her vervain. Like, I just think that it's obvious that Damon's been using her in the past and abusing her. Stefan or Elena should get her some vervain, and not just Caroline, but like Jenna and Jeremy as well. And it's so ironic that you know, Damon's doing this search for the sheriff, and he's using the sheriff's daughter, Caroline, for the search. So the reason why he can't do this search with the compass is because, you know, this compass points towards vampires, therefore Damon's vampire nature will interfere with the compass signal. And the compass appears to have been pointed to the old warehouse, so Damon compels Caroline to forget what happened, to leave, and he heads into the warehouse only to get shot with wooden bullets. So the person who was shooting these wooden bullets was Logan, and Logan seems to think that it was Damon who turned him, and he doesn't know who turned him into a vampire. So he mentions how he woke up buried by the highway, and he couldn't get into his house because he lives alone, and Damon says, oh, that sucks. So it was kind of funny hearing about Logan's story of, you know, becoming a vampire, and I wish we could have, like, some scenes, like, seeing him wake up buried, trying to get into his house, trying to, like, adapt to being a vampire. It would be pretty funny, I think. And so I guess, you know, even though he lived in the house, he probably rented it. So that's probably why he can't get into the house, I'm assuming. Or his name was the only one in the deed. Like, I'm not really sure how that works. Is it because he's renting? It probably is. And I don't know, like, something about Logan's character. I mean, I'm like a broken record, but at this point, I'm like a broken record. But the most recent, like, vampire series that I've watched is True Blood. So that's why I'm kind of, like, referencing it a lot. But Logan Fell really reminds me of this character in True Blood called Reverend Newland. If you haven't watched True Blood before, like, please skip the next 20-30 seconds because I'm gonna let out a minor spoiler. If you've watched it or you don't care, please continue listening. So basically, Reverend Newland was this reverend who hated vampires. Like, his whole religion was on hating them. And he ironically ends up becoming a vampire. And it's just the whole attitude and the whole, like, transformation really reminded me of Logan. So I found it funny. And sorry, the sirens are really loud, so I'm sorry about that. There's probably, like, really loud sirens in the background. And if you've watched True Blood, you'll probably get all these references that I make in every episode. If you haven't, I'm sorry. Maybe in the future we can cover True Blood. But of course, that's also, like, a 6-series long drama series. So it's going to be a big commitment. But I am going to be watching Twilight after season 1 to take a break from TVD. So hopefully, you know, I can switch up the references a little bit. And also, Logan mentions how he can't stop thinking about his ex-girlfriend, meaning Jenna, and that he wants to bite her. So Damon says it probably means you love her. So when you're a vampire, the feelings you have magnify. So we see, like, for example, when Vicky transformed into a vampire, when she transitioned, she was, her emotions were heightened, so she would get angry easier. But it's the same for feelings of love. So even if you maybe had, like, a small crush on someone, like, maybe when you become a vampire, that magnifies into something more, and you feel more love towards them. And it seems that Logan just really wants to walk in the sun, so he keeps asking Damon, you know, how do you and Stefan walk in the sun? Like, he wants to be able to walk in the day too. But then Damon isn't answering, and Damon keeps asking Logan on who turned him. They're both asking the same question again and again, but none of them are answering. And Logan says it wasn't in the journals that the Founding Fathers passed down, which means that there's not only Gilbert journals, but maybe there's journals for each family on information on vampires. And because none of them are answering, Logan just shoots Damon multiple times and runs off to give himself a head start. So obviously, I don't think he wants to actually kill Damon, because technically he still needs that information. But he's just off to destroy lives, I guess, to destroy lives and eat people. Okay, I just listened back to that clip of Logan and Damon, and there were sirens in the background, so I apologize for that. So this episode's event is, like, the career night at the school, and we see lots of interactions between Jeremy and Tyler this time. Even though Jeremy's being compelled, he obviously still holds this hatred towards Tyler. He's teasing him. But then he looks at the sketch and he sees that it was actually Tyler who drew it. We also see Elena and Matt talking, and when Caroline sees this, she kind of walks away. I guess she's feeling jealous. Matt is saying to Elena that he's just friends with Caroline. So it's clear that, you know, maybe Matt does like Caroline, does enjoy spending time with her. But when you see him interact with Elena, you can just kind of see that Caroline is kind of like his second choice. Like, he still has those feelings for Elena. And then Stefan arrives to talk to Elena. Stefan talks about how he wanted to be a doctor, but he couldn't handle the blood because, you know, he couldn't become a doctor after he was a vampire because he couldn't deal with the blood. And this reminded me of Twilight. Okay, I'm finally doing a reference that isn't True Blood. But, I mean, I haven't watched Twilight in ages. Like, I've only watched the movies, like, once. And I've never really, like, sat down and, like, watched it properly, I think. But I know that the Cullen's dad, is it Carlisle? Or, like, I don't even know the names, but, yeah, he's a doctor. So, yeah, it just reminded me of Twilight. And Stefan says that he did many careers over his vampire life, but he had to keep moving so people wouldn't notice that he ages. So it would only be, like, a few years until he would have to move to the next place. So, you know, Elena is asking how long does he have until he has to move away? So it's obvious that she's asking it not just out of curiosity, but more like for herself. Like if she was to be in a relationship with Stefan, you know, how many years would they have together in Mystic Falls? And then Jenna approaches to say that Logan is here. And Stefan looks really alarmed because obviously Stefan knew that he was dead, which therefore makes him the new vampire. So Stefan tells Elena to go somewhere else with Jenna because, you know, Logan's arrived. And Stefan gives this kind of look to Elena, and Elena seems to figure it out. Like, she seems to suss out that something's off. And so Logan is asking Stefan about how to day walk. So he just really wants to know how to walk in the sun. And Logan is saying that he's a celebrity around here and he could expose Damon and Stefan if he wanted to. So he's using this as a threat, but it doesn't seem to work because Stefan says, you know, don't threaten me again. And we finally see Stefan being more strong, being more like Damon. And that seemed to work because Logan just runs off. And back to Jenna and Elena, you know, Elena's asking Jenna, you know, what happened when Logan came to their house the other night? What exactly did he say? Jenna mentions that Logan kept trying to convince her to let him in, to invite him in. And then just, you know, by hearing that, Elena figures out that Logan's probably a vampire now. And she says, under no circumstances, you mustn't let Logan in, which I understand. But from Jenna's point of view, it's like, yeah, it's an ex-boyfriend of hers. He cheated. But it's not like he's a murderer, right? By Elena saying that, you'd think that he's like a psychopath or like a serial killer, which he is now. But from Jenna's point of view, she doesn't know that. So I just really think it would be best to get Jenna some Vervain or, you know, compel her, like get Stefan or Damon to compel her to avoid Logan. Like, there's so many different ways to go about it. You know, obviously we see many of the main characters finding out about the supernatural world, finding out about vampires. And I have to say that Jenna is one of the characters that figures out really, really late on. And I think that by her having this knowledge, like, some people think that having this knowledge is dangerous, but I think in the plot, it gets to the point where it's more dangerous for Jenna not to know about vampires, which you will see in, like, later seasons. So yeah, I just really think it'll be easier to just compel her, like, if you don't want to tell her, like, get her some Vervain. Stefan and Damon are on the phone. They're talking about Logan, and, you know, Damon is headed to school. He's hell-bent on revenge because Logan shot him multiple times. And we see a scene of Caroline and the sheriff. At this point, she's mainly known as Sheriff, but later on, they start calling her Liz. But we don't really get to see many, like, you know, mother-daughter scenes between them. We always have the image that, like, the sheriff is the sheriff. In later on seasons, we do get to see more mom-daughter moments and interactions between them. So Caroline looks really excited. Like, she wants to show her mom this new career that she's interested in. And she says that she wants to work in broadcast journalism. Funnily enough, Logan worked in that too. Usually you'd think that the parents would be encouraging, but I think her mom is, like, more of a realistic person. So she's saying, like, you don't even read the newspaper. So she doesn't seem to be encouraging Caroline. And I kind of feel bad for Caroline. You see Caroline's disappointment. Like, she just wants to spend time with her mom, for her mom to approve of her. And I think that her mom doesn't mean to be so cold and be so cold, but she's unintentionally being cold to her daughter, which she's probably not realizing. After Caroline leaves, Logan appears behind the sheriff, and she looks really shocked because obviously she saw him dead. And here we found out that it was actually the sheriff that sent the emails out. It wasn't Damon. I thought it was Damon, to be honest. But yeah, it was a sheriff. And, you know, you kind of feel bad for Logan. I don't know, like, he died for the town. Like, he literally died for the town. And then he was just buried, like, nothing happened, story hidden. And he says that he was one of them. I was one of you, he says to the sheriff. But now he's a vampire. The sheriff says, now you're one of them. So it is kind of sad to see how quickly they flip like that. It's, like, really segregated, like, humans and vampires. Like, even someone they know who accidentally became a vampire, they just disregard now because of the species that they are. It's almost like they don't see vampires as people with feelings. I mean, they are dead and they do have, like, issues where they are bloodthirsty. But we see that they do have, like, genuine feelings and emotions. Like, we see that with Stefan and Elena and even Damon with Catherine. So, yeah, the sheriff is calling to get back up. And she says, get back up. It's V5, she mentions. So I think V5... is like something to do with vampires, like Vampire 5. I don't know. Maybe it's like a 5-member squad that knows about the vampires. Yeah, I thought that was funny. We see Caroline outside the career night. I think, like, after, like, the conflict with her mom, she just wants to go home. She's waiting for Bonnie, but Bonnie's not there. And then Logan appears in the car, and here we know that he used to babysit Caroline. So he really used to be, like, a close family friend, and this is how he was disregarded. So Caroline, you know, obviously trusts Logan because she's known him since she was a child. He's literally like a news star, like a TV news star. Like, he's not the type to do anything. So she gets in the car with Logan. Luckily, we see Matt watching from behind, like seeing Caroline get in the car with him. Logan basically smashes her head against the window straight away. And it was pretty quicker than I thought. Like, I thought he would at least drive away and then do something. But he just knocked her out unconsciously. Thank goodness Matt saw this, because thanks to Matt seeing that, he was able to tell Elena and Stefan later on that Caroline got into the car with Logan. So then we have this whole moment of Jeremy and Tyler. So, you know, Jeremy saw the drawing earlier, saw that Tyler drew it. So he's asking Tyler about the drawing and, you know, saying that we might have things in common. Like, maybe he's trying to initiate a friendship, I don't know, but things go bad and they start fighting. And the mayor stops them. The mayor and Alaric each stops them. And then the mayor decides to take them outside. And it turns out that the mayor wants them to, like, genuinely fight. And he's literally pushing Tyler, encouraging him to fight, making him fight. Luckily, Alaric comes to the rescue. Alaric notices and stops this whole fight that was about to go on. And Alaric says to the mayor that he's a full-grown alpha male douchebag. And then the mayor threatens Alaric with his job. And then he says, you're marked. So I found that these were two werewolf references. And we see this whole, like, full moon moment with Tyler later on. But I just thought it was funny how they mentioned two werewolf references, you know, like an alpha male, and then you're marked. I mean, we haven't seen any werewolf scenes. We don't even know if werewolves exist as of this point, but it really feels like they're pushing us towards believing that the Lockwoods could be werewolves. And we see Jeremy look really happy, like genuinely happy and impressed with Alaric. And he's probably happy that someone's there looking out for him. Like, we get that, you know, Elena is very caring for Jeremy. She's a caring older sister. Jenna's their guardian. But I guess he needs, like, this male figure. And having Alaric is really having a good impact on him, I think. Like, he feels happy that there's someone there to look out for him. So thanks to Matt's tip, Damon and Stefan manage to track Logan down. Damon pulls Logan out of the car. He shoots with wooden bullets. And Stefan takes Caroline home. And Damon has, like, this tire iron. He's ready to kill Logan. You know, obviously he wants revenge for being attacked by Logan earlier. And at the very last moment, Logan panics and mentions about the tomb. And he says, there's another spell. He says, we can help you. So this implies that there's probably other vampires, because otherwise Logan wouldn't have known about this tomb. You know, Damon doesn't know whether to trust him, but he doesn't want to take the risk of losing, you know, how to get Catherine out. So Damon says to Logan to take him down, to make it look real. And then Damon fakes, like, that he was attacked by Logan. He says to the sheriff that he wasn't strong enough. But I actually think it makes it look more realistic, because if Damon's always really strong and is managing to kill these vampires without any struggles, it would be kind of suspicious. And then Stefan is back at the school again, which is strange, because he literally just took Caroline home. Then he's back at the school to see Elena. He probably is vamp speeding everywhere, so he didn't have a car with him. So Elena offers Stefan a ride home. At first he turns her down, but then he agrees. So yeah, I wonder if they get tired from like vamp speeding from like place to place. Jeremy approaches Tyler again, so it's like he keeps approaching Tyler this episode, and he's trying to be nice, like he's trying to say like, oh, I saw how your dad was, I get how it is. Tyler retaliates. He said he doesn't want his pity, and he punches him out of nowhere. And then Jeremy says like, you know, what's wrong with you? And Tyler says he doesn't know what's wrong with him. And after that, we get the, you know, longer close-up of the full moon, which is basically implying that Tyler's a wolf. So Elena has taken Stefan home. They've arrived at the Salvatore house, and you know, Elena is there going on with this conversation that they've been having for so many episodes about like how they can't be together. And you know, Elena's like done with it. She's like, you don't get to make that decision. And she says the three words. She says, I love you. And I guess those three words really made Stefan change his mind, because deep down he doesn't want to leave Elena. He loves Elena too. He's just doing it for her own good. But by Elena saying those three words, you see Stefan's face change. He rushes back and they start kissing, and then the music begins, and like there's all these feelings. And the song is called Cut by Plum. And this is actually going to be the song that I play for the end of this episode. After I looked it up, I found out that this is like Christian rock music, and the lyrics Cut is actually about self-harming and cutting, which kind of doesn't go with the theme, but I do still really like this song though, and I really love the lyrics. So they get into the Salvatore house. Stefan gets like this vamp face. He gets his vamp face, so he looks away. I guess when their emotions are heightened, like the face shows. But Elena says, don't hide. And then she sees Stefan's vampire face for the first time. And it kind of gives me like Bella and Edward vibes. I don't know if they had this moment before, but yeah, it just kind of gave me those kind of vibes. And then they sleep together for the first time. We see Logan walking out of his warehouse, and Alaric is waiting for him. Alaric is saying that he's here for Jenna. And then Logan says, I know it makes you think you're brave, but actually this makes you stupid. So from Logan's point of view, he thinks he's got the upper hand because he's a vampire. He can just bite or like attack or kill Alaric. And Alaric just says, you know, Alaric just wants Logan to stay away from Jenna. And, you know, Logan turns away. We see the vamp face develop. And just when he's about to turn around and attack Alaric stakes him in the heart. So, you know, there's lots of questionable things from this, because number one, how did Alaric know that Logan was a vampire? There was literally no signs. And we didn't see Alaric talk to Logan or talk to Jenna about Logan that much. And then number two, in the previous episode, they're really trying to push the whole Alaric as a vampire theory. We saw him with a daylight ring. We saw him with a ring that looks like a daylight ring, like the Salvatore's. We see him talk about how his wife was killed, how he's been moving around. But does that mean he's not a vampire, or he is a vampire and just covering his tracks? We have this cute small moment of the sheriff and Caroline. So she's kind of like watching Caroline in bed, and I think she's just really relieved that Caroline wasn't turned into a vampire, wasn't killed by Logan. And you know, although she's spending this like bonding time, although she's trying to bond with Caroline, she gets this call and she has to leave for work again. So we kind of see the dynamic here. Like, the sheriff does care for her daughter, but at the same time she prioritizes work a lot, and that's what's causing a rift. Like, you know, Caroline's parents divorced. She only has a mom now, but then her mom is prioritizing work all the time. So we kind of see from Caroline's point of view, she just wants to spend time with her mom, maybe. Elena and Stefan are in Stefan's room, and surprisingly, it's actually Elena's first time in Stefan's bedroom, and Stefan is talking about how all of his important memories are in this room, which is ironic because, you know, Elena sees Catherine's picture later on. So Stefan offers to go get Elena a drink, and you see Elena look really happy, and then she's kind of like decided to snoop around Stefan's room because she's curious, and she finds the Catherine picture. You know, the portrait that we've been seeing for so many times since the pilot episode. You can tell she's shocked, because it's literally like looking in a mirror of like your identical twin. And it's just so questionable as to why Stefan would leave this portrait lying around. Like, he could have vamp speeded and hid the picture. Why is he still looking at it if he's with Elena? So I kind of think it's Damon's fault. Like, Damon probably keeps looking at this portrait and is leaving it lying around. So Damon should just take the portrait or get his own portrait. When Stefan's back to see where Elena is, we see that Stefan notices that Elena has gone, and we see her necklace, her vervain-filled necklace on the portrait. So I think it's trying to, Elena's put it there to imply that she saw the picture and that she's pissed off and she threw it away out of anger, but it probably isn't the best idea to go unvervained when there's this town, when there's a town that's full of vampires and also humans that become vampires out of nowhere. So the sheriff is called Damon to say thank you, and you know, Damon looks confused. So sheriff explains that, you know, she's really grateful that he killed Logan. She didn't know how he did it, but they found all the victims, and this town and her, they basically owe a lot to Damon. Apparently this warehouse that Logan was using was the Old Fell warehouse. The sheriff says that he was found by the Old Fell warehouse. So I guess that, like, the founding families have, like, their careers. Like, we see the Lockwoods are the mayors, the Gilberts are doctors, and, like, the Fells are, they tend to be, like, news broadcasters, but they also have the Old Fells Church, so they owned a church, and now they have a warehouse as well. So it appears they're a very wealthy family. At this point, we haven't seen any of the Fells. We do in later episodes, but at this point, we've only seen Logan, which is kind of strange, like, wouldn't we see his parents or something? And, you know, Damon is literally on his way to meet Logan. Like, he's literally by the tomb, like the Old Fells Church ruins. So obviously he's surprised to hear that Logan's dead, and he's probably devastated as well, because just when he thought he had another chance to see Catherine, it's been taken away from him again. And then the last scene of this episode is Elena in the car. So Elena is driving, she's crying, she's probably speeding, and this figure appears out of nowhere. So Elena tries to divert it and she ends up crashing. The car literally like tumbles several times. And then we see this figure approaching Elena, and then that's how the episode ends. So it's such a cliffhanger. Like, imagine watching this in real time and having this whole like hiatus and like having to wait 2 months to see the next episode. I mean, part of me kind of wishes that I could experience that, because nowadays we have the option to just stream all the episodes all in one go. So unless we try to like control ourselves by watching only like one episode per like week or something, it's highly unlikely that we're able to like control ourselves and like wait to watch an episode. Like, for me, when I start a new series nowadays, I just binge watch it. It must be more exciting to be able to have to like to go through that. I remember I watched Gossip Girl in real time, and it was so exciting having to wait each week for the next episode. I would say that, I mean, this episode was good, but I would say that episode 8 and 9 were way better for me. Like, episode 8 with Lexi was so good, and the previous episode, whole emotions with Emily Bennett taking over Bonnie's body, like the crystal being destroyed, it was just so dramatic. So I'd say that this episode was kind of like a calmer one compared to that. It is a shame that we didn't see Logan be a vampire for longer, because I think that he would make a funny villain. But as you can see, you know, I did say in the previous episode that even though the crystal was destroyed, technically this is still the tomb chapter of the series. So obviously the tomb story is still going to continue as we expected. And, you know, even though Damon's lost his chance to open his tomb again, now that we've learned that there's more vampires, I think that they're gonna eventually be able to open up the tomb. We're eventually gonna see more vampires. And, you know, although they left it with the cliffhanger of Elena in the car, obviously, Elena is the main character, so realistically, they're not going to kill her off, but we don't know who this figure was. So I guess that's like, I guess this figure, though, is probably this other vampire that is in town. So the next episode is episode 11, and the episode title is called Bloodlines. And I am so excited to see this episode. And the reason why is because we see more Elena and Damon scenes. And if you know, you know that I'm a Delana shipper. Like, even though I find Delana really cute in these early episodes, I really ship Damon and Elena later on. So I'm excited to see, like, these first proper interactions with them. Favorite and least favorite characters. My favorite characters would have to be Elena and Stefan, just because the whole, like, Delana moment at the end of the episode was really cute, and I find Stefan's acting so good. Like, you can see the pain and like emotion in his eyes, and you can see how much he loves Elena. For the character I dislike the most, it's not actually Logan, because even though Logan was like the main villain of the episode, he's actually entertaining. I would say I dislike the mayor the most, because the mayor was literally encouraging, you know, literally encouraging Tyler and Jeremy to fight, and I didn't like his attitude, the way he was threatening Alaric with his job. Just because he's a mayor, he thinks that he's above everyone, so I just really didn't like his attitude. So I disliked him the most. So all in all, this was an okay episode, I'd say. The next episode, I can't wait to watch. It's been really fun doing, like, this podcast because, you know, I watch one episode at a time. Whenever I watch The Vampire Diaries, I always stream through it. So it's been good to like pace out and only watch one episode per week. I think I'm going to be taking a 1 week hiatus. If not, it'll be a 2 week hiatus, but I do want to watch. Yeah, I'm probably going to take a 1 week hiatus and be back the week after for episode 11. If I do decide to take a 2 week break, I would just let you guys know on my socials and through the podcast. So thank you so much to anyone who has listened to my first 10 podcast episodes. I really appreciate it. If you only just found my podcast, please, you know, binge watch through the first 10 episodes while I'm on this hiatus. I really appreciate all of you guys who have tuned in. Let me know who your favorite character is. You know, we've had 10 episodes. We've kind of seen each main character's personality and backstory, kind of. So it's been 10 episodes since we started this series, so let me know who your favorite character is as of this point. And I will end this episode by playing my favorite song of this episode, which was Cut by Plum. So I'll see you after our mini hiatus. Bye, guys!